Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to CL Educate Limited Q3 FY18 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star followed by zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Ruchika Govila. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Ali. Good afternoon, everyone. It is a pleasure to welcome you all to CL Educate Q3 FY18 earnings conference call. Please note that the results have been uploaded on our website at www.cleducate.com. To take us through the results today and to answer your questions, we have with us the top management of CL Educate, represented by Mr. Satyanarayanan R, the Chairman and Executive Director, Mr. Gautam Puri, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Nikhil Mahajan, the Executive Director and Group CEO, Enterprise Business, and Mr. Sudhir Bhargava, the Chief Financial Officer. Satya will open the call today with quarterly financial update, followed by a short business review. GP will take us through the consumer business review, while Nikhil will discuss about the enterprise business segment. After the presentation, we will open the call for a Q&A session. Before we begin, please note that some statements in today's call may be forward-looking, and the actual results may be materially different from these forward-looking statements. The information provided on the call is as of today, and the company undertakes no obligation to update the information subsequently. I would now hand over the call to Satya for his opening remarks.
Hi. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you, Ali. Thank you, Ruchika. I'll make use of the Q3 FY18 investor presentation, which you could refer to. As we move forward, I'll also make a mention of which particular page number or slide I'm on while taking you through the presentation. As Ruchika said, I will cover the financials, followed by GP Gautam Puri taking us through the consumer business and Nikhil Enterprise. I'll come back to cover a couple of corporate summary items and then leave it open for Q&A. Now, I'm referring to one new slide that we have added just to make it easy for you. Please take a look at slide number three, where the glossary is added so that you are able to refer to it whenever the presentation inside says, "What is BPL?" or "What is CIBIL?" It kind of gives you that reference sheet. I'm straightaway jumping to slide number five, titled Key Financial Highlights. On a consolidated revenue basis, if you refer to the column saying Q3 FY, the quarter-on-quarter growth in the October, November, December has been 37% over the corresponding quarter last year. On a nine-month consolidated basis, the growth is 9.7%. In order to make a little bit more sense of this number, we have also captured one important aspect, which is our typical quarterly revenue distribution for the last 2 years. If you look at the table in the middle of that sheet, Q3 typically is the smallest quarter for us in terms of seasonality and revenues. Also, an important thing for me to bring your attention to is that last year, Q3 had a little depressed revenues because of the demonetization impact. So if you look at Q3 of 2016 versus Q3 of 2017, you'll find the impact of demonetization, where the revenue share instead of 20% in 2016 was 17% last year. So that also explains a little bit that the growth Q3 is showing is a little bit more flattering than what it could have been. Coming to the bottom, there are 2 points at the bottom of the sheet, number 5, that I'm referring to. Out of the 57 crores of government receivables, last quarter we received 6.4 crores. The rest is still to be done over the coming few quarters. Another important thing for us to note is that the transition from IGAAP to Ind AS is still 1 quarter away. So the deferred revenue impact as we speak at the end of Q3 was about 4.1 crores instead of 0.1 at the same corresponding period of Q3 FY17. Now I am moving to slide number 6, which is titled Financial Summary. This slide is a wee bit crowded, so I will bring your attention to some of the points that are circled, which is the corresponding quarter on quarter Q3 growth, net revenue about 33% instead of 60. I'm referring to column number 3 and 4. And also, we have tried to capture the impact or the growth if we were to have adjusted it for the acquisitions that we did this year in the form of Civil Services and CA, which is which goes by the brand name E10. So without the adjustment, it would have shown 33.8% growth in net revenue, 37% total revenue. And if you look at it on an overall basis, we're talking about total revenue of about 217 crores vis-a-vis 202 crores as of 31st December 2016. At the EBITDA level, the absolute comparisons would be 22.6 last year, 9 months, which looks like 20.4 this year, which includes after accounting for the acquisitions. If we net out that, it still is flatter, but it's a 1.5% growth instead of what looks like 9.5% degrowth. I will come back to this towards the end of my when I come back for the corporate summary, and GP and Nikhil also will cover the in business view of the acquisitions to give you a greater sense of acquisitions done in the last 9 months. I'll now move to slide number 7. Which gives segmental metrics where on a year-on-year basis the consumer business has grown by about 8.4% on a 9-month basis. The enterprise has grown by 11.2%, and for the Q3 to Q3 comparison, the growth is about 36.8 and 47.5 for consumer and enterprise business respectively. For any questions on these, we will come back and take it in the Q&A session. Now, GP joins me and he will take us through the operational performance of the consumer business. This is slide number 10.
Yeah, thank you, Satya, and welcome everyone. As Satya said, I'm starting from slide number 10. And I'll be focusing on the consumer business, which comprises the tester or the coaching business and the publishing business. If you look at this slide, both in tester, in if you compare the quarter three, or if you look at the 9-month period, in both the cases we have had a growth in tester. In publishing, on the other hand, while quarter three gives a flattering increase. Overall, on a 9-month basis, we are slightly lower, 4.5% lower than last year. And as Satya said, 3.6 to 7.3 in publishing last year 3.6 was a little depressed, essentially on account of demonetization. But the important thing is that overall we have grown by 8.5% on the 9-month basis, and quarter three is an overall growth of 36%. If we go down and look at the key metrics in terms of the business, the number of centers has had a jump of vis-a-vis last year. At this point of time, last year we were 158, now we are 215. This growth is significantly on account of addition of E10 and iGate centers. For the benefit of those of you who may not be aware, iGate is a gate training institute in which we have taken a stake, and it is present in about 13 cities. Also, E10, we have 36 centers which are exclusive E10 centers, and we have 16 centers which are housed along with existing Curry Launcher centers. So while E10 is available in 52 centers as a whole, out of them 16 centers are common with the Curry Launcher tested centers. None of the iGate centers have an overlap with Curry Launcher centers as of now. In terms of overall number of stores in the nine-month period 2017 versus 2018, we have had a slight increase from 62,000 approximately to 64,000. And the important thing with respect to publication is that the number of titles, we have had a significant growth of about 25% from 1,920 last year at this point of time to we are 2,562. And the number of titles sold digitally has also been increasing on a regular basis. With this, I will move to the next slide. And in the next slide, which is slide number 11, I will look at the business as usual. So the way I'm doing it is I am first looking at the regular business of CL, which is the coaching business, MBA, law, bank, SSC, and engineering medicine. While in the other slide, other part, I will look at the new acquisition, the new products that we have launched in this year, and I'll take you through them in detail. Business as usual, just to repeat, it is MBA, it is law, it is bank SSC, it is engineering and medical. It's primarily what we consider. For this 9-month period, the billing has gone up from 118 to 133 crores. Okay. And as I said in the previous slide also, the number of centers has also gone up. Okay. The enrollments have also gone up, and what is important is that both in MBA and law, the two biggest products of Curry Launcher, in both of them we have had a significant increase in this year. And especially from a law perspective, it is important because at the beginning of the season, because of date sheet issues, because our business to a significant extent depends on the board exam date sheets of class 10th and 12th. We had suffered because of, not a very convenient date sheet from a tester's point of view. And we are recovering that part. Also, the fees that we have been able to charge to the students have gone up by about 13%. With this, I will move to the next slide. Slide number 12. And now I'll look at the publishing part. Okay. The gross sales are flat till Q3. Typically, if you look at publishing as a business, Q4 or the Jan-March quarter typically accounts for almost 40% of business, and we are hopeful of growing in this particular quarter. The challenge in publishing has been the vacancy business. Now let me explain that part. A significant portion or a portion of a business comes out when Government of India announces vacancy, and whenever there is a big ticket vacancy which is not defined or which is not expected, the business definitely goes up. Now last 2 years we have been having one-off vacancy like this which we have been able to capitalize upon. Unfortunately, this year no new vacancy has come up, and it has been business as usual only, and that is essentially where we have been lacking. We have not been able to gain. However, we have been able to establish three new lines of business over the last 12 to 18 months, which is the civil services publishing. We have done in this year about a 4 crore business. Similarly, school publishing, which is the test prep and the physics, chemistry, math kind of books for schools. That is where we are doing a 2 crore business. And this year we have recently launched a new product, which is school sample papers, and which has been received very well. It's a bestseller on Amazon, and this has given us the confidence to go deeper into this segment. On the cost front, one of the things that we are doing is we are looking at cutting down printing costs by about 8 to 10% by working with multiple printers and by having a slightly different printing process. However, this impact of the cost reduction in terms of printing will be visible only in the next financial year. So 2018, we are unlikely to see any gain on that aspect. I will now move to slide 13, which talks about the new products we have launched to acquisition or otherwise. The purpose of the new products has, or let me say, the theme or the focus has always been to focus on the asset-light model, which means we continue focusing on franchisee delivery, we continue focusing on next not setting up our infrastructure and centers, and get partners to do it for us. In the last 9 months, we have worked on the civil and the CA part through E10, about which we had discussed last time also. And in E10, the first 9 months we took to get our act together, because when we got it in hand, the number of centers were down to a very small number. And the CA product had vanished, and we were essentially doing civil in that product in E10 at that point of time. In the last month or so, we have been able to merge the TestTech and the E10 business, which means now we have a common network and redundancies in terms of people have been removed. And not only that, we are also exploring ways of reducing the bandwidth cost, because VSAT bandwidth is important. So we are experimenting on that area, and overall between rationalization of people and the rationalization of cost and internet stroke VSAT bandwidth, we expect to have a saving vis-a-vis this year of about 2.5 crore in the next financial year. Gate we acquired in October, and the integration is happening. In financial year 2017, iGate, the company in which we have taken stake, had done a 10 crore business in gate coaching, and this year in the first 9 months they have already done 10 crores, and we expect them to close with a growth of about 25% or so. So 12.5 crores is what we expect them to close this financial year. They had 11 centers when we acquired, and subsequent to that we have been able to add two more centers, their existing CL partners. But they have taken a separate partnership for these, and they are separate premises and separate locations completely. So Calcutta and Chennai, two new centers have been added, and in the next year, the focus on this in gate is essentially going to be in terms of increasing the geographical presence. Campus training is a business collaboration that we have had, and the advantage of campus training is that it is a requirement in almost all engineering colleges. So when we look at the engineering college per se, in an engineering college, the campus training or campus placement training is a requirement for almost all students. The next big requirement for them is GATE. The next big requirement for them is MBA. And then finally, they have civil services. So if you look at from an engineering college perspective, from campus training to MBA to civil, we have the entire range of products available to us. So it will help us going deeper into each of the engineering colleges. Same as for the case with civil, in terms of campus training, the redundancies have been removed in the last month and a half or so. And the network team of Career Launcher, the network team of E10, and the business team of campus training Vistamind have been integrated. And the product is now being offered through a larger number of locations. this month itself, or rather last month, sorry, January, we have entered into collaboration with Science Parivar or SP classes in Bombay with the intention of focusing on science tuition. We were already doing a bit of it through our engineering coaching in Bombay. But science tuition is a significantly big market, Maharashtra board, and this will allow us to go deeper into the geography. We also get a few more centers, and after overlapping with our centers, we have been able to increase our reach in Bombay with the help of SP or Science Parivar classes centers. Let me move to the next slide, slide number 14, and continue with the new and acquired businesses. Just to summarize it once again, civil, campus training, and career launcher test prep business integration has been done, and all of them now part are very clearly in a single box. In the first year, we have had an operating loss of around 4 crores. So far, which is a 9-month period. The technology, the business integration, etc. has been completed, and over the next 1 year, which is the next financial year, I'm sorry, we expect a total of about 2.5 crore savings on these accounts out there. CA, which was a non-existent business when we took it over, we have now had tie-ups with the relevant partners. And we will be focusing essentially on CA Foundation. Why CA Foundation? In the CA hierarchy, CA Foundation is the lowest in terms of the requirement of the student. It forms the base of the pyramid, I'm sorry. And if you have a good number of students in CA Foundation, it is easy to scale up the business of CA Intermediate and CA Finals. Fortunately, most of the competition does not focus on schools and CA Foundation. They focus on CA Intermediate and Finals. And we feel if we can focus on CA Foundation, we will be able to make a mark in this market faster. Okay. Campus Training Vista Mind, as I said, has already been integrated. GATE or IELTS acquisition completed in October 2017. And the impact of IELTS will be visible essentially in the next financial year. Because in this year, we have just about 5 months available to us. And given that the business season was already underway and about to be over, we will not be able to make a significant impact in this financial year. As I said earlier, GATE product has been launched by Career Launcher partners in Calcutta and Chennai. And the focus will be on setting up new centers and the venue growth through existing CL centers. Finally, the Science Parivar. It gives us a base of about 800 students and an expected revenue of about 6 crores. And publishing, just to summarize, diversification and risk mitigation is what has worked for us. The civil services has emerged to be an important component for us in publishing, when we have already earned 4 crores and we should possibly close by adding another 50 lakhs or so. School business, another thing which was initiated about a year ago, has also been successful. And the school sample paper looks to be a promising new market which we can explore further. Okay. With this, I will hand over to Nikhil to take you through the enterprise business.
Good afternoon, everybody. I will give you a very brief update on the enterprise business, which basically deals with corporates and institutions, including universities and colleges. Kindly refer to slide 16 of the presentation. On a consolidated basis, the enterprise revenues have grown by 11.2% in the 9-month period ending FY18 over the same period FY17, while the corporate business has grown by a more modest 6%, the institutional portion has grown by a much faster pace of around 60%, but that's on a very small base of around 7.5 crores, and as the base increases, the growth rates will temper down to more realistic of mid-20s. If you look at it, the new client sign-up has been impressive in the nine-month period, with the number of corporates whom we have built increasing from 61 to 69, and the number of institutions built showing a dramatic increase from 55 to 106. The disproportionate increase in the client base in the institutions and the university side is reflected in the 60% revenue growth of the institutional business. Now, going on to the next slide, let me first give you a brief update of the corporate business. The business has grown by about 6%, from about 71 crores to 75.5 crores. The business profitability has been flattish due to various reasons, including cost structure movement and the product mix or the services mix, which has happened over the nine-month period. One of the positive things has been that our international business has grown by over 300%, though on a very small base. This international business is currently serviced out of Singapore. We, as a business arm, are focused on moving from corporate services business to a higher-end solutioning and a consulting business, and digital and Marcom activities will give higher margins, and with the customer business, add collaborative youth services, youth marketing services to various corporates. Now, this is something which we have been trying to work around for the last 12, 18 months with some success. Last 18 odd months, we have also been working on building out our own intellectual property and monetizable assets. And last year, we created two successive large properties. One is, in our opinion, the largest Youth Connect platform called Inquisitive Minds, where we reached out to about 800 schools and colleges and a total student base of 400,000. And the second one, Melting Pot 2020, which is the largest collaborative platform between academy and institutions, which was attended by about 500 plus attendees as compared to 150 in the previous year. These properties are now reasonably well established and have reached a stage where we see them bring greater revenues on their standalone basis in terms of sponsorship and business going to be generated by the from the attendees. We have also made significant investments in building team, IP-based products, tech platform, etc. in the last 18 months to facilitate creation of a foundation for the future growth. We have also made significant investments in looking at overseas business besides Singapore, with business options coming out in Indonesia as well as in Dubai. And in a phased manner, we are scaling up business development in these two new markets. And in the coming years, we expect these businesses to be a significant chunk of our business. Going to the next slide, which is on institutional business. This business, I'm referring to slide number 18. This is currently forms a very small part as compared to the total enterprise business, and hence this business has been growing pretty rapidly on a small base. However, this is a business which generates high profitability and has a margin, a net profit margin upwards of 20%, where gross margin is upwards of 40%. We have scaled up our client base from 55 to 106, and this year is the first year where we have serviced a few international clients and generated a revenue of around 80 lakh and see that growing in the coming years. The key focus areas in this business is increasing client base rapidly. As you see, there are 800 universities and 20,000 plus colleges in India. As of now, we are servicing a minuscule number of them. Rapidly increasing the client penetration would help us scale this business to a larger height. We are also focusing on strengthening the student recruitment services with providing services for Indian students going abroad as well as international students coming into India. And we expect this to keep growing based on, because this effort is in sync with the broad economic trends as well as the policy of attracting a larger number of international students into the Indian ecosystem. Research business, which is the business which we had acquired 2 years ago and has been growing rapidly in the last 24 months. This business during the current fiscal, in the first 9 months, has grown by close to 100%. More important thing is that we have now started seeing research revenues sponsored by corporates beginning to flow in. We have, in the last 30 days, closed a couple of deals with REC, HP Inc., where corporate-sponsored research projects have been initiated. These revenues will accrue over the next 6 to 9 months. And a couple of other leading corporates have committed, and the execution of those projects are expected to commence either later towards the end of this quarter or in the early first quarter of next year. The business which has already been signed up and which will be executed over the remaining 8 to 9 months, the pipeline already indicates a 50% growth for next year from the current levels. In a synergetic association with TestPrep, we have started focusing on career development centers offering CRT programs and GATE training programs into colleges. We are entering into institutional tie-ups at school level for offering career development centers and offering competitive test prep offerings inside schools. We are focusing predominantly initially in engineering colleges and schools. We are also beginning to focus on employability training programs which are purely online in the emerging areas of artificial intelligence, machine learning, and related areas with the changing requirements of the Indian IT space. I think that will be a large opportunity in place. But we are initially approaching with these certificate and new training programs to engineering colleges and universities only and not to the corporates to begin with. We'll make a move towards the corporate at an appropriate stage. If you refer to slide 19, I've already covered basically the two projects which we have already launched in the corporate-sponsored innovation space. One of them is a government-funded project, REC, a PSU-funded from REC, 2.55 crores, and a HP-funded project of 50 lakh. The other two 50 lakh each projects are likely to begin execution in the coming 30 to 60 days. This is the broad summary of the enterprise business, and I'll request Satya to take the corporate part of it. Thank you.
So may we start the Q&A session now?
Yeah, just there's a small part that I'll take, Ali, and then when we open up for Q&A.
Sure, sir.
I am referring to the last part, which is beginning slide number 21, and quickly recap something on the balance sheet side. So there is one theme that I have been referring to, which has been part of our priority, which is to be able to release cash from the assets that are there, which are non-productive, just to say that we are mindful of the release of this money. Slide number 22, if you look at it, the K-12 asset sale, the business transfer agreement deal did not fructify, though the agreement was done. So the alternate conversations are underway. We'll keep you updated whenever something comes to a fruition. On the other hand, we have that asset in Greater Noida, which was our business school earlier, that is likely to get us an option of leasing out the infrastructure, because there the market for an outright sale is still not ripe. So this is an unfinished task on my table. We are mindful of that, but this is just to give you an update that this has not happened yet. The last slide I move before I open it up for question is the slide number 23. GP and Nikhil have covered the business parts of this. But here I'm mentioning once again about, you know, some of the acquisitions that we have done, if you look at the slide 23, is that in the test prep business, we have entered the civil services, chartered accountancy, GATE as three significant postgraduate or the college level admissions test segments. These are very large segments. And if you look at the bottom left-hand corner, we have captured that the acquisitions which have cost us about 26 crores of investments. In this year, the acquisitions happened at different points in time. They give us a student base of about 7,500 across these segments in test prep. Though at the end of the year, we think that we will be minus 4 crores of EBITDA. The capital deployed is 22 crores of capital deployed, 26 crores of revenues, 7,500 students. And this would be in the investment phase for another quarter or two. But these are very strategically important segments for us to grow our test prep business from the around 200 crores right now of consumer business, test prep and publishing put together. If we need to visualize double the size of this business, these are very important segments. GATE is a 8 lakh segment, civil services is upwards of 10 lakh segment, CA segment is larger than the MBA. So this is an important part. Similarly, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, which is the tuitions, undergrad program is also a significant part. So we are very mindful of the strategic value that it holds for us to accelerate our size. The guiding principles that we use is that does it help us strengthen the market share in the segment? Does it enhance the growth while adding profitability when we are able to bulk up operations and bring in greater economies of scale? Number two, does it help us get into segments where it is scalable? And are the market segments large and addressable? So those are the broad guiding principles that we use. From a capital allocation point of view, which is in some sense my principal responsibility, the way we look at it is, does it give us the money back in about 3 to 4 years, which means that does the ROC work upward of 20% is an important thumb rule that we use. Our belief at assessment is that these are very important steps that we've been able to take in the first three quarters of this year, and we look forward to staying very focused on these, and any more action that we do would always be to make sure that we make serious dent into these three significant segments in test prep. The enterprise side, Nikhil has already covered. It's a new sunrise segment. We think that we will add a first mover advantage in this research services in India as it is evolving as an innovation driven economy. So there I would like to kind of pause by just making one remark that those of you who have followed the budgets closely, the allocations to education, research, innovation has been very significant, and most of those budgets are being channelized through nodal or senior institutions such as the IITs, Niti Aayog, etc. So it's very early days, but that we have some presence there, and we have some profitable SBU which has taken shape in the last 12 to 24 months, we think is of some value to us. I will pause there and take some questions. Ali, I will hand it over to you, and hopefully some more points that I seem to have missed we'll cover in the Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. We will take the first question from the line of Ankit Pandey from Quant Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My first question would be if you could just give us a little bit more detail into the implications of the budget, Satya. That will be very helpful, especially if there's any specifics tied to one of our segments.
Let me just cover it broadly, Ankit, and I'll be happy if any one of my colleagues also can chip in if I miss out on something. See, there are two broad areas which are being focused on. Number one, that pertains to the core education, skills, and employability. And the budgets are pretty much talking about allocation of significant chunks of money, which will have to be routed, especially this is to do with government institutions, and where focus is on improving the quality of education. As you know, access as a problem we have solved as a country. But quality is of immense concern to all of us. Number two is thrust on research. Number three is how do we leapfrog higher education, especially by using technology. So let me give you a few examples. Number one, the additional education cess of 1% and the collections out of that, there is an announcement that 1 lakh crores have been allocated to be spent on research and innovation in through institutions over the next 4 years, 25,000 crores per year for the next 4 years, number one. Number two, you know, initiatives such as Skill India or Swayam, which is a digital education program, or the NDLI, you know, National Digital Library Initiative, all of these are going to provide opportunities. Some of them are going to take some time to come to fruition or to begin to reflect as revenues for us, but it is an important thing for us to stay very closely logged in into those developments. Number two is you will already know that in the government institutions, almost half the batch, they all come from, you know, the SC, ST, BC, poor children from the poor backgrounds, etc. So there are monies that are being assigned for the campus placement training, skills training to make them employable. A lot of these, they are being encouraged to deliver it through the partnerships with private institutions. TEQIP, TEQIP, is something that I would request you to look up, which is a program to help improve quality in technological, technical universities in the country. We will also be happy to upload a few of the articles which keep doing once in a while, but we'll be happy to share with any of you who's keen to know about it. You could leave a query with Ruchika or one of us, and we'll share a summary of the overall highlights. There is something called as Vidya Kosh that has been announced for excellence in performance by institutions as per the NIRF rankings. NIRF stands for National Institutional Ranking Framework. So overall, there is a lot of funds that are getting channelized. What it translates to us, only time will tell, and how much do we get out of this is further down the road.
Well, thanks, that is very helpful. But if I have to understand another way, is a lot of allocation, budget allocation, going into competing schemes or going into schemes that are essentially managed by the government, which will actually sort of impede the private sector, so to speak. Do you sense some of that?
You see, whatever is going to be deployed through institutions or institutional framework, which are outsourceable to the private sector, only those become relevant for us. We don't intend to fight for any revenues that takes us into a B2G segment, which we evacuated over the last 8 quarters.
Correct. That's helpful. Yeah, maybe that was one. And if I could ask another one, was that I think somewhere in our investor presentation we mentioned that we've taken out 6.5 crore from government receivables. So I think how much more is it to come? Because I believe it's been shut for about 3-4 months now.
The overall that is due to us was 57, of which
52 was more. 46.
Sorry, 40. So after the 6.4, 46 is still to be recovered from the government. And you know, given that it's a government thing, it just is prudent for me to say that when we recover, we will keep you informed.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. I'll jump back in the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Participants, to ask a question, please press star and one. We have the next question from Ankit Pandey from Quant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for that. Just on the publishing business, GP, could you take me through the impact of some of the sales that we've been making via digital channels and what impact that is having on our profitability and scalability?
Ankit, the GP here. When we look at the publishing and the digital channel, bulk of our sales happen through, when we talk about digital channel, through the e-commerce platform. And there, from our point of view, it is another distributor. So from a profitability perspective, it is same for us, whether it is a physical offline distributor or a e-commerce player like Amazon or Flipkart. Yeah, so I hope that answers the question.
So it does not have any impact on profitability, and the tie-ups with Amazon are not very cumbersome. Is that correct assumption to make?
Absolutely right. So from our point of view, just to repeat, the margins that we get from Amazon or Flipkart are similar to the margins that we get from our regular physical distributors.
Okay. That's helpful. Yeah. Thanks. If I could ask a couple of more questions, you know,
sure.
you said how big is the school sample papers business for us at this time, and what level can it scale up to? What is the opportunity that we're looking at here?
From our point of view, the school sample papers today is the first item. There's the 10th class board exam for CBSE, the first item that we have launched. Now, when you look at how big is the market, if I just restrict myself to class 10th and class 12 board exam, and we say the number of subjects and look at the number of boards, because every board has a separate structure for itself, we are talking about a market which is likely to be something like about upwards of 10 billion units. Sorry, 100 million units. So in 10th class, they are typically about 12 million stones, and 12th class, they are about 10 million stones. Okay, so 20 odd million, and on an average, 5 papers for each of these, 10th and 12th. And so that becomes something like 100 million plus units. So the market is huge, but there is no specific market leader at this point of time because it is highly fragmented across boards.
Okay, and did I catch that right? This is an Amazon bestsellers we have some leadership there.
I'm sorry, I missed. Could you please repeat on this?
Is this a bestseller of some sort on Amazon? I think one of our
different
channels.
Yeah, the first paper that we have launched for CBSE, because CBSE this year has reintroduced the board exam, which they had made optional over the last 7-8 years. So from our point of view, this was a very good opportunity. And the other part is these board exam sample papers flow in very well with our tuition market. The Science Parivar allows us to probably look at a similar offering for Maharashtra board next year. And then the segment which comes to us for Maharashtra board or for CBSE or sample papers becomes a data which we can leverage for further test prep services.
Okay. And if I could speak a little bit on the enterprise, Nikhil, if you could help me out with understanding the opportunity with our international business, please. And I think I'd not catch the size of that business again.
Yeah, it will be difficult for me to even try to estimate the size of the international opportunity. My estimate is it would run into a few tens of billions of dollars if I were to look at it globally, but just limiting itself just to Asia Pacific and Middle East, it's I think substantially larger than the opportunity which India presents, and a very small part of that would itself be good enough for us to work towards the next 3 to 4 years. There is no very detailed or market size estimate
right,
which is available at this stage.
So this is part of our corporate or institution reporting as part of
For the institutional business, India has 800 universities and 20,000 colleges. Globally, there are 3,000 universities and 200,000 colleges. So the market size, you could just extrapolate, and from the pricing using international currency, the market size would turn out to be at least 100, 200 times of what the market size would in India would be. If you want to look at the corporate services, the Indian corporate revenues would be probably 2% of the global, 1 or 2% of the global corporate revenues, so the market size could be 50 to 100 times larger than that, what the opportunity in India is. So I think you are trying to estimate the market sizes for these businesses is order of magnitude problem, but I think the market is so large that even a fraction of a percentage would be good enough to look at. Very much larger than what total revenues we do currently.
So if I could ask, what is the method of business control that we are having in the international business right now?
So as of now, what we are simply doing, we have customers like Dell, Cisco, IBM, etc., who we service in India. We are simply starting to provide similar set of services which we are doing to them in India, to their Asia-Pacific offices and to Middle East offices, and that's exactly what we are doing. So what we were doing for a Dell or a Microsoft or IBM in the Indian market, we are now starting to offer that services in Philippines or Indonesia or Malaysia based out of Singapore, and for Middle East based out of Dubai. And I think, we have a very small team present based out of Singapore and Middle East, and most of the services are going to be in the related to the areas of solutioning, consulting, digital marketing, or marketing communication, and hence large chunk of that work would be either would be delivered or deployed out of resources based in India, resulting in a slightly higher margins because of cost arbitrage which we can try to exploit. We have respectively small teams which are based out of both Singapore and Dubai, but they are predominantly business development teams.
Great, great, great. So at this moment of time, it's just an extension of our current business, and the returns are not entirely, you know, out of sync with our regular business.
No,
Ankit, that is what I wanted to kind of step in and say. Look at it as the programs and products that have been shrink-wrapped, sold multiple times in India. You're extending it to two adjacent geographies, which are just 3 hours hop from Bombay or Chennai, and with superior returns. So we should say that we are merely trying to scale it a little bit by geography and not getting too ambitious. We have a lot of work to do in India itself, but this is if this gives us easy landing, more profitable business with the existing clients, I think that's what we are doing. Same products, two more geographies, Singapore and Dubai. That's it.
Great, great, great. And you talked a little bit about research, and from what I gather, it is not part of your corporate portfolio at this point in time. So once again, you know, what is the opportunity that we have here? Because it seems that this is, again, a very natural extension of business that we do.
Yeah, so, Achindre, which we acquired, it initially used to work only with the institutions. And while that has gone from two institutions to about 15, 18 now, the connecting them with the corporates is the next little expansion that we have done in the last 12 months. And as Nikhil shared in his presentation, the successful channelizing of the corporate revenues through Vane Connect platform, which already has now 20,000 innovators, that has begun to happen. So we should look at it as early pilots, this is a trickle, and we should stay very focused and hopefully be able to curate that into a successfully scaled thing. It will take 2 to 3 years. There is no quick buck here, but it being a sunrise sector in India, it could be something that where we can not only scale it in India, but maybe take it to a few other geographies as we progress. It's a very high IP, not easy to replicate, kind of a little bit of a business moat that we see in that, and we should capitalize, or at least capitalize on the first mover advantage in the research services, which straddles the institution arm on one side and the corporate arm on the other side.
Great, great, great. And finally, my last question would be on the K-12 asset sale. So could you just give me some more details and some timelines around this, and what exactly are we looking forward to for this to get completed successfully, and how much would it change our gearing at this point in time? Thanks a lot.
So when this is done, it will release 40 crores more for us of cash, which then becomes available for us to deploy in the aligned asset-light scalable services business that we are in. How much time will it take is perhaps, is anybody's guess. You know, until the deal is done and cash comes in, we won't be able to say it. But we are at it. We are working on a couple of conversations. We'll update as and when it kind of closes.
So I mean, what you've written is alternate asset sale. So is it another asset altogether that you're looking at, or different kind of discussions?
The real estate. You know, the operating asset.
Correct.
If you recall, and it's there on our investor zone. It was sold to Eduvisors, and we now hold 44% equity in that combined entity. This is to sell the real estate and release cash from that transaction.
Okay, got it. Thanks for that. and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you, Ali. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us. Any other question, query that you would have, we would be happy to take those. And as I said, the overall theme on which we are focused is to consolidate and deepen into the asset-light, scalable businesses with focus on profitability over the next few quarters. Thank you very much once again. Look forward to more conversations as we move along. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of CL Educate Limited, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.